This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. This morning, we share a second excerpt of the upcoming radio documentary Inspiring West Virginians, West Virginia Public Broadcasting series, which celebrates Mountain State natives who are leaders in science and business. Today, producer Gene Snedeker visits Marilyn Johnson from Kanawha County, the CEO of one of the most prestigious women's organizations in the world.
Oh, Gene, we're on Pennsylvania Avenue now. This is the direct route from the White House to the nation's capital, so the president going back and forth to work.
Marilyn Johnson, CEO of one of the most prestigious women's organizations in the world, the International Women's Forum, headquartered in Washington, D.C. Johnson grew up in the Kanawha Valley of West Virginia.
My earliest and fond memory of this was as a sixth grader at Vandalia Elementary School. I was selected to represent the patrol, the safety patrol troop, and march down Pennsylvania Avenue. That was probably my foray into leadership.
And I remember a former global executive for IBM, today Marilyn Johnson is one of the most high-profile African-American businesswomen in the country. And from the time she was a small child, Johnson, the middle of five children, had a fire in her belly to succeed. But being from an African-American family in the Kanawha Valley of the 1950s, there were certainly hurdles to overcome.
Being born in West Virginia in 1953 in South Charleston was truly an opportunity for me to grow up in an integrated environment. But my parents were smart enough to put me from Sunday school into kindergarten, where it was literally in the garage of a lady, a teacher, probably a retired teacher, because I remember Miss Catherine was older and very beautiful. And she taught me how to read, and she taught me my colors, and she taught me how to spell my name and write my name. That education I got through church and Miss Catherine's garage was Head Start before Head Start had a title. So I had confidence.
Despite that confidence, when she started first grade at Central Elementary School in St. Albans, many of the children didn't want to play with Marilyn. Indeed, they had been told not to play with her. So she set a strategy that she would define herself. They wouldn't.
If there was a spelling bee, I wanted to be one of the last ones standing. If we all had to go to the chalkboard to do math, I took my time to print neatly, check my work before they called on me to explain my problem and how. I wanted to excel, and I had educators that saw more in me, I think, than I saw in myself.
After earning two master's degrees from Marshall University, while at one point working as the weekend weather girl at WSAZ-TV, Marilyn taught briefly in Cabell County. But then she headed for California to interview with IBM.
I knew from the very first conversation with the very first manager at IBM that if I invested in my career the way I invested in my education in West Virginia, it was a meritocracy. The better performance that you delivered, the more opportunities that you would receive. And with that comes leadership, compensation, escalation, and success, defined by moving up that corporate ladder.
Which is exactly what Johnson did. Over a period of 35 years, while raising her two children, she went from showing customers how to use IBM business equipment to vice president in charge of developing IBM strategy for marketing to businesses that were owned by ethnically diverse people and women leaders around the world. In that role, she expanded IBM's market share significantly. When she retired in 2012, IBM had nearly 400,000 employees in more than 70 countries, and it remains an iconic leader in the IT industry.
My name is Denise Evans, and I am the Vice President for Women and Diversity Marketing at the IBM Corporation.
Denise Evans succeeded Marilyn Johnson at IBM. They worked together 8 years.
Marilyn is perpetually visionary. She's a lifelong learner. She really is inspirational. So it was just great working for her. She's always uplifting. Even when maybe giving constructive criticism is uplifting.
After her retirement from IBM, Marilyn Johnson continued her volunteer service to various business, civic, and arts organizations, as well as public speaking work. Then, in 2014, came the biggest challenge of Marilyn Johnson's career. She was invited to be the new chief executive officer of the International Women's Forum.
Our leadership development experience helps women in 33 countries on 6 continents find their voice, find their network, educate on expert topics, and raise their influence level around the world. There are 6,200 members currently connected through technology and then meeting face-to-face in conferences that are held around the world.
This global network of preeminent women leaders across all fields and professions not only comes together to help each other, but it also provides programs to develop future women leaders. Of course, another draw to take the new position in Washington, D.C. was that it brought Marilyn Johnson, the little girl from the Kanawha Valley, closer to home and family.
There is a true benefit to being from a place that wants you to succeed and wants you to represent the best of its values. And we're small enough as a state to claim and know each other, yet we're broad enough in talent and skill to touch the whole world.
For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jean Snediger.
Inspiring West Virginians is made possible by the ongoing support of the Miles Family Foundation, inspiring West Virginians to soar.
Listen to the full story about Marilyn Johnson and three others in the upcoming documentary, Inspiring West Virginians, Monday, December 28th at 8 p.m. This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:51. Rain in our forecast through Thursday, daytime highs in the 60s, near 70 degrees, overnight lows in the 40s and 50s.
Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by the West Virginia Division of Rehabilitation Services, enabling and empowering workers with disabilities to meet business workforce needs. Employer services at wvdrs.org.
The man behind the lyrics of Frosty the Snowman, Peter Cottontail, and Smokey the Bear is none other than West Virginian Jack Rollins. His song about a magical snowman coming to life and bringing holiday cheer can be heard almost everywhere this time of year. In 2011, Rollins was inducted into the West Virginia Music Hall of Fame. Liz McCormick reports.
Why don't you tell the kids about your ice-cold friend?
All right. Frosty the Snowman was a jolly, happy soul, with a corncob pipe and a button nose and two eyes made out of coal.
Jack Rollins, who's also known as the real Frosty the Snowman, was born in Scottsdale, Pennsylvania in 1906. But he moved to Keyser, West Virginia with his family when he was 3 or 4 years old. He ended up growing up in Keyser and as an adult lived in New York, California, and Ohio, but West Virginia was always special to him.
Your home is where your heart is, and his mother and his brother settled in Keyser, West Virginia.
That's Champ Zumbrin. He's a big fan of Rollins and even wrote an article about Rollins' life that was published in Allegheny Magazine in Cumberland, Maryland.
And he would come home at every opportunity while his mother was alive. In fact, if you go to the cemetery, he's buried next to his mother.
Zumbrin is a retired forest ranger from Maryland, and he's also a musician. While working as a forester, he performed Jack Rollins' song, Smokey the Bear, every weekend for more than 30 years.
Cause everybody knows that he's the fire-preventing bear. Smokey the Bear, Smokey the Bear.
In 2011, Zumbrun received a surprising phone call.
The chief of the Smokey Bear program nationally learned that Jack Rollins, who wrote Smokey the Bear, was going to be inducted to the West Virginia Music Hall of Fame, and they were reaching out to the National Forest Service Office to find out some information about Jack Rollins. And since I have been researching Jack Rollins, they contacted me and connected me with the West Virginia Music Hall of Fame, and they asked would I share my information with them. I said, sure, anything to help Jack out.
The West Virginia Music Hall of Fame also learned about Zumbrun's history singing Smokey the Bear, so the group asked if he would sing at Rollins' induction ceremony. Zumbrun said yes. The West Virginia Music Hall of Fame was, however, still looking for a family member to accept the award on Rollins' behalf. That's when Jack Rollins' grandson, James Busmeyer from Ohio, came forward to accept the award for his grandfather.
Frosty the Snowman was a jolly, happy soul, with a corncob pipe and a button nose and two eyes made out of coal.
The song has become a classic. This time of year, we hear Frosty the Snowman playing on radio, television, movies, and in shopping centers. It was written in 1950, but is still so popular today. And Champ Zumbrun knows why.
Because I think people always need songs that are happy and have a message of joy. And that's what Jack was all about. If you want to know Jack Rollins, just look at the lyrics in his songs. They're happy, they're innocent, they're full of joy. I think people always need to celebrate and be reminded that life is not a drudgery and there's a spirit in life that's joyful. And those songs, if you listen to them, are joyful, happy songs.
Frosty the Snowman was a jolly, happy soul.
For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Liz McCormick.
Two eyes made out of coal.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.